Let's get ready to wrinkle! Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a rousing episode of Fly Casual.
Woo!
Do you want to know?
Yay!
That was marvelous.
Around the crowd goes wild.
Episode number 32. It's a news and toy report episode. So we're going to be talking about all the latest and greatest in the news for the Star Wars
galaxy. That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Star Wars? Oh.
Star Wars.
Oh.
Yeah. No, we are totally, we've dropped our Kubrick cast completely.
Huh.
Not that we don't like Stanley Kubrick, you know.
It was 2001 week.
I know.
Yeah, it was, but. That's
true. Hey, interesting known fact, there were so many crew members that worked on 2001 that then worked on Star Wars that they referred to the crew as the class of 2001. Little known fact.
Oh, I get it.
That's a freebie.
Oh.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. And over there, across town and probably sniffling and horking throughout the podcast is Mr. Michael J. Archbold. How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right, man. How about you guys?
Oh, hey, I'm marvelous.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but, I'm dancing a jig. Can't you tell? Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah. Seems like you're dancing a jig over there.
I know. I've got that dancing a jig glow in my voice.
You got that kind of out of breath type sound.
No, that's just because I'm horribly, horribly out of shape.
Okay.
That's the asthma, the allergies, and just the overall slowly marching to death. But
I see.
Where I'm not slowly marching because, you know, I'd be really worn out is all the way across the state, across the pond and down a few. Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm doing good, Corey.
Yeah.
I want to take this opportunity to say I'm accepting of all listeners to the podcast.
Every single one of them. Oh, no. He made it political.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Thank you.
That's my stance.
Hey. I think we're all there. We're right with you. No matter what fundamentals any of us will hold dear, we're total whores for the listeners. So, anyone and all. Hop on board this bandwagon because this train's leaving the station. Mixed metaphor. Speaking of stations, over at Master Control is Mr. Stephen J. Howie.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, that's good. If you weren't here, we'd be getting started even later, most likely.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Not at all.
Or not at all. Yeah, eventually I would just curse and punch a hole in the wall and then cry myself to sleep. So
like most nights.
Right. This is the one night a week I don't. Punch a hole in the wall, curse, and cry myself to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, I know. It's good to take a break.
That's because you can talk about Star Wars.
That's right. And I'm going to talk about it right now by batting it over to Mike with the news.
Well, boys, we have some potential news on the front.
We only have potential. Wait. Do we have theme music for potential news?
For potential news?
We need potential news theme music. That was the news theme music. I don't know. Very good, Gary. Problem solved.
This is still kind of kind of rumory, but it's out there and people are talking about it. So I'm going to report it here, whether you guys like it or not.
No, screw. That's my cursing that I do before I punch walls.
Okay, punch wall.
Okay, that's your curse? Wow.
Yeah.
Looks like we have another cast member for Rogue One, guys.
Oh, I thought you were going to add a cast member to this podcast. Whoa. I was like, thank God. Yeah. Offload some of this nonsense.
Oh, man.
Well, we've tried that. I don't know.
So who's signed on for Rogue One?
Well, there's a gentleman out there by the name of Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Mendelsohn. Mendelsohn.
Mendelsohn.
It's Mendelsohn, so I guess it could be Mendelsohn.
Mendelsohn.
So Ben Mendelsohn, I don't know much about the guy. Looks-wise, he kind of looks to me like a cross between Kevin Bacon and like Gary Oldman.
Man, that's a lot of sharp angles.
Yeah, it is.
I've not seen I don't know about the Kevin Bacon part.
Well, look at his IMDb, and then you'll see the Kevin Bacon.
He's definitely Gary Oldman with a wicked stash, especially with the long hair.
Right.
What kind of a name is Ben Mendelsohn? That sounds like somebody out of a Wes Anderson movie. You know, oh, delivery boy, Ben Mendelsohn.
He's actually an Aussie, so.
Ah, he's got an Aussie look to him. That explains the sharp angles.
He does, yeah. So Ben Mendelsohn, where you might know him from, he was in The Dark Knight Rises.
Wait, who was he in that movie?
What was that character's name? I'm trying to take a look.
Batman.
he was a character named Daggett, and I don't remember Daggett. So smaller role there. It sounds like what most people know him from, and I don't know him from this because he's new to me, but there's a TV series called Bloodline, and he's very popular in that. So when we threw this out on Twitter, there was a lot of response by folks saying, "Oh, he's the guy from Bloodline, blah blah blah." So
Bloodline. Is that a vampire movie or an ER movie?
So, I don't know.
I thought it was a Castlevania game, so more vampire than ER.
I guess so. Sounds vampire-y to me, but, hey, who am I? I don't know.
You're not a vampire that I know of. I've seen you in the daylight.
Looks like it's a Netflix original.
That's right. I have seen that on there.
Yeah, a family of adult siblings find that their secrets and scars are revealed when their black sheep of a brother returns home. So I don't know if it's related to vampires or not, but I don't know. There's a lot of people that like this show. So anyway.
Interesting.
Most recently, Exodus, Gods and Kings, the Ridley Scott movie, he was in that too. So.
I've still not seen that one. That's on my list.
I have not.
That's on my list.
I don't know. I haven't decided.
I watched Noah way too late at night, so now I'm kind of afraid of the biblical, the pseudo-biblical epics.
Oh, jeez.
Because I walked away from Noah feeling high off my butt, and I'm like, I didn't even drink tonight. Why do I feel high after watching that movie?
Well, that's Aronofsky for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right.
That's
exactly.
That's more Aronofsky than the biblical type.
Well, it's true. But Ridley Scott can get, I felt a little high after, what's the alien prequel that I can never remember the name of?
Prometheus.
Prometheus.
What did you say?
Doors?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Now, holy crap. I'm
sorry. Who did The Doors? I'm sorry. I thought that was Ridley Scott.
The alien prequel is The Doors. Val Kilmer.
I was trying to make a joke.
The band?
Val Kilmer played the xenomorph.
Actually,
that wasn't him. It was a guy that did JFK that did The Doors, man. I can't remember his name.
He also, that's also responsible for Platoon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Why can't we remember the name? It starts with an O. Man, falling flat on. Quick, someone search on something.
Filler spots, Oliver Stone, man.
I said it started with an O. Nailed it.
Well, his last name starts with an S. So.
Yeah, but Oliver, he's not known as Stone.
Could be.
He's like not Stone Phillips or something like that. He's Oliver Stone. By the way, I've met Stone Phillips.
Stone, comma O.
I sang in the still of the night, I sang Under the Boardwalk on an elevator to Stone Phillips.
You sang that just, an hour ago, too.
I did. While we were trying to figure out our technical problems. A man's got to pass time.
That's true.
So what you said there's a little rumory about this casting decision. What is a little rumory?
Because it's not official yet. It's just if you go to his IMDb page, you'll see that they've got it on there, but it's a rumored spot. So that's, it's not really official.
And I still don't look at IMDb as a bastion. I look at IMDb how high school teachers viewed Wikipedia 5 years ago. That's how I look at IMDb. Cause your high school teachers 5 years ago, like, you just got all this off Wikipedia. And it's like, yes, I was efficient in my research. They have all these sources. Did you know?
Rogue One is kind of the hot news right now, and that's why I wanted to throw it out there, because even though it's not official yet, it's still there's buzz out there and people are talking about it. So
yeah, okay,
throw it out there. So and it doesn't have anything to do with the storyline or anything like that, but be interesting. Seems like I don't know, maybe a relative unknown. Kind of keeping in line with. Casting that we've seen and even The Force Awakens and prior movies.
Does he play Wedge?
Ooh.
Yes,
he does.
Yeah. Any guess? He plays
Wade. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
Actually, when we hit the rumor cast, we'll talk a little bit about Rogue One and the time frame and things a little bit.
So all right.
We'll hit on that.
I'll make sure
we'll
talk I tune in.
Teasing the next episode. Savvy, Mike. You've captured the listener quite well.
Episode 33.
The listener is fully ensnared at this point. Fools! What else is going on?
Well, we talked about, I think last time we talked about the, I think last time we called it Unknown Novel Number 4.
Yeah, that is a hot title.
Yeah,
I'm still all about it. Well,
they've changed that title, unfortunately, because I think Unnamed Novel Number 4
was
nailed it, but now they've refined that a little bit.
Ben Mendelsohn.
And that particular novel, which takes place on the timeline directly after the Battle of Endor and Return of the Jedi. It is not Truce of Bacora.
Dang it.
It's a novel called Aftermath.
At Bacora.
And we talked about this a little bit last time. The fact that this is, kind of the beginning of them rewriting all of this. So everything, the Truce of Bacora and Courtship of Princess Leia and all those things that happened directly after and the X-Wing series and all that stuff. That stuff's gone. So
Can I go on record as saying The Courtship of Princess Leia is one of the worst sci-fi book titles in the history of mankind?
You know what? The thing of it is, the novel isn't horrible, but yes, that title is bad.
I'm gonna say it. I did not read that book until well after I had read ahead of that book. I was like, well, I guess I should go back and read this so I can learn about the stupid Hapens and stuff.
Yeah.
And I read it and was like, hey, wow, that book had a horrible name. What do you know?
It did. But actually, it has one of the coolest scenes that I thought, as far as Luke is concerned.
Oh, don't even know.
What? Don't even know? You don't like that scene?
Okay,
Why
don't we let the ensnared listener? Okay, there you go.
I thought you were going to say when he crashed the ship and walked down using the force. Oh,
when he floated down. No. No, when he piloted the Falcon by himself.
When he crashed the ship and walked down, it was a little chandrilly.
I didn't envision him walking. I thought of him more sitting like in a meditative position.
But I think
that's better, just Dalai Lama-ing down out of the clouds.
I think I remember, and it's been a while since I read it, but didn't Prince Isildur or whatever his name was say, oh, that must be why his family name is Skywalker? I think I remember something to that effect.
And then a dwarf in an Ewok suit without the mask on runs out with a trombone.
Let's just put it this way. As far as the EU is concerned, there were worse novels than The Courtship of Princess Leia.
Absolutely.
They sure was. So, but the
broader scheme here, what I wanted to bring up to you guys is that when the article that's connected, if you go to betterkind.com and look at the show notes, you'll see the article references that this will be the beginning. Actually, this is the beginning. This book called Aftermath, which is this one that happens.
It's a weird title for a beginning.
Sort of.
It is, if you will, the Alpha and the Omega.
I guess so.
It's just but that it's the Omega and the Alpha.
The funny thing is this is the beginning of a trilogy, actually.
Good.
So Aftermath is the beginning of a trilogy of novels that take place. And it sounds like, by all accounts, they're saying that this is going to bridge the gap between Endor and The Force Awakens. So that's what this trilogy is supposed to do, but
that's fine. Just as long as everybody's attacked by blue space velociraptors, because otherwise I'm going to be really disappointed. Because if you remember, that is exactly what happened in Truce of Bacura. Yeah, they were attacked by space velociraptors.
Yes, they were. Yes.
It's true.
And they had little knapsacks around their
See around their you later.
Huh? I don't know. We'll have to see, man. Anyway, the broader scheme here too is that this trilogy is going to be the beginning of a 20-book series that they've announced.
Whoa.
And yeah, 20 books.
You know, last time they dropped a number that high, we got the Yuzen Vong series. I know. Which again had its ups, but had a lot of downs.
Here's the thing too, man. Here's the thing what I'm concerned about. I don't know. I'm just getting the sense now that they're, you know, I think we were hopeful.
We sure were.
We were hopeful when they put the EU aside and we started hearing people like Dave Filoni and them say, don't get too upset because we're going to be drawing from that. And, you know, it's known as Legends. So,
right. And we just haven't known to what extent we were going to get that. And Rebels has been really good about pulling some little meaty chunks in from the old EU.
They have, but that's Dave Filoni's baby over there.
Exactly. That's a different
animal.
This
stuff with these novels, you know, who knows? And I'm getting a little bit worried. I think they're just going to just not do anything even kind of close.
I don't think so either, because who's writing these books?
New people.
Who want to make their mark in the Star Wars world.
Just like the original Star Wars authors.
We
just
had
like
that problem. We had that problem with Star Wars authors almost quibbling in their novels about who wanted to do what.
Right.
The author of Aftermath, Chuck Wendig, I follow him on Twitter, and he was trolling hardcore this last week, because I guess he just got tired of people asking him, hey, what's gonna happen? So he's basically putting stuff out on his Twitter that just to piss people off. let me read a few of these.
Time travel has got to be one of them.
So he puts these in like an action type in between stars, like he's doing an action. So he fires up the old laser saber. Lasers an Imperial clone trooper, rides off on a TIE fighter spelled TAI, blows up the Doom Star. And then he goes on, I guess he gets a lot of crap from some people. So he goes on to say, I also think Greedo survived the Sarlacc pit, so I plan to make that canon in Aftermath. Wow. That's right. I'm doing that. and then he ends up, after all this is done, he's like, all right, well, back to writing Aftermath. This Boss Nass trade negotiation scene is pretty long, so I better get to it.
Okay. All right. I'm on board. Because clearly he understands at least the parts that don't work.
Exactly. I mean, the level of confidence.
The level of meta humor about Greedo surviving the Sarlacc is brilliant. That was almost lost. Like, I almost corrected you. No. Wait a minute. That's the joke. Okay. I like this guy. I like the cut of his jib.
He definitely, I think that gave me a lot of confidence. He knows a lot about the universe enough to make off-putting troll jokes to everyone.
So. Yeah, I can dig it.
I think at least the first book's in good hands.
Yeah.
There's a couple of points here that I want to hit on, though. I mean, first off, though, the books that have been released, you know, the Tarkin and what's the one that you read, Howie, that we're going to review next cast?
We may or may not review
Heir,
next
Heir
cast.
Heir to the Jedi.
Yeah, Heir to the Jedi.
Garrick, have you read that one yet?
I haven't started that.
Tune in four episodes from now when we review Heir to the Jedi.
It's, you know, the books that have been released in this new canon have been kind of received very lukewarm. There hasn't been a lot of enthusiasm for them.
Nope. Well, and, I'm sorry, they're starting over. Was there a lot of enthusiasm for Splinter of the Mind's Eye?
I don't know.
That's practically, I mean, I was still.
That's the 70s, so I don't
probably
know.
When it came out there.
I was nary a fetus, you know, or I was barely, I certainly wasn't walking when that book came out. So, my reaction to that is we have erased everything. Yeah. That associates the fact that, you know, when a book came out and it said Star Wars on it, it didn't matter how awful it was. It was a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, right.
Every single one. And just more so and more so because people just kept getting on board with this big expanding, quote, canon, end quote.
Right.
Blank slate. And oh, by the way, the last three movies didn't really do a lot for a lot of the audience. I know there are people who love it, and I'm not going to get into that, and that's great. And I love them for very specific reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And I dislike them a lot for other specific reasons, but that put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth, and they're not just going to blindly flock the way they used to. They gotta reestablish some faith, you know. Right. They gotta earn it. They gotta want it.
But I don't know that they've done that so far.
No, of course not.
At least, but
of course they don't. Other than Rebels, there's really nothing to really. You know, and say that Rebels can be divisive. So
I think the comics have won me over.
Mike, did you just throw your computer across the room?
I think what they're doing in the comics is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bringing in new people that are interesting and fun, and the storylines are amazing.
I tend to agree there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Really,
we'll get
truly,
into that in our next.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that some of the sourness. I mean, I know for a fact that some of the books I liked the least in the old EU were authors that were handpicked by George Lucas himself. You know, and I would come to find that out later. I'd be like, man, that book sucked. It didn't feel like Star Wars at all. That writer, although they're a decent author of other things, doesn't understand Star Wars. I'm like, well, yeah, George Lucas was a real fan of their work and handpicked them to do it. I'm like, why?
Are you talking about R.A. Salvatore?
That's one of the handful I'm referring to. Yeah. And really and truly, R.A. Salvatore redeemed himself in one of the prequel books. I felt like it felt a lot better than Vector Prime did, but I'm sorry, I've read several of his Forgotten Realms or D&D or whatever books and have enjoyed them. So
they're awesome.
They've got the humor that his Star Wars book had none of. I don't get why that's like, did he just feel too much pressure? What happened there? But anyway, it could be that just having this new group of people, you know, and having kind of like Kathleen Kennedy with more control, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe this is exactly headed in the right direction. So, but we just don't know yet.
Yeah.
There's no way to know.
Yeah, there's been too few novels released. I guess, you know, we're gonna find out, but I don't know.
We've got Rebels and we've got
the comics.
I'm
on such a roller coaster right now because, you know, with Rebels, I was like, oh, okay, they're not gonna diss me entirely, but. You know, like I said, just some of the things I've been reading about some of these novels, I'm just kind of like, oh.
Mike, you know, I promise you, I make you this promise right now.
Yeah.
If the entirety of the EU completely ceases to exist, if Grand Admiral Thrawn no longer, if the Chiss are no longer a race that exists, even though I think they
don't even go there, man.
I know. But if that's the case, I promise you that I will find some wacky way for us to play a tabletop role-playing game that justifies the coexistence of both realities. Because I need this, sir. Yeah, I need this.
Right. Exactly. I go back to what we were talking about, I think in our last cast that, you know, I think this telltale sign is going to be, you know, whether or not we get a Jason and Jaina, or no, not even Jason and Jaina. I think more sooner than that in the next Rebel season, if we get a Mara Jade or we get a Mara Jade analog, that's going to tell us a lot about how the future of the EU is going to unfold.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, but true.
Indeed.
So, I agree.
Well done, sir. Having established that. So what's going on with Oscar Isaac and The Force Awakens?
Well, Oscar Isaac, there was a story done in comicbook.com this past week about Oscar Isaac and his role in The Force Awakens. And of course, for those who don't know, he's in the new X-Men movie as Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's kind of sweet. With
him. Whoa, he's playing Apocalypse?
You didn't know this?
He is Apocalypse, man.
Well, no, guys, he's playing the role of Apocalypse. He's not really Apocalypse.
No, he is Apocalypse. You didn't hear this?
Oh, he's IRL Apocalypse?
He has become Apocalypse.
The dude.
He's a shapeshifter.
Wow, and he also has the Four Horsemen. Yes. Apparently, and also he apparently helped
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah,
John Boyega,
and apparently he helped build the pyramids.
Well, that's I'm kind of glad you didn't know this, Corey.
And plays wicked folk guitar. Give the guy some credit.
That was
wonderful.
No,
all right.
I don't know what that was.
That was hee haw or something.
That was banjo.
Anyway, I mean, it's just a short interview, and he talks a little bit about that he's excited to work with Rian Johnson, which goes further to, you know, confirm that Rian Johnson's, you know, directing and all that stuff in the next movie. But anyway, the broader question that I wanted to pose to you guys is, you know, the fact that he's going to be playing very big roles in two huge you know, film franchises. And, you know, that's something when you think back to, you know, the original Star Wars and people like Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, you know, they weren't able to cross over and do that kind of thing. Are we in a new day and age now that, you know, someone like Oscar Isaac can, you know, play like, again, two huge roles in two huge franchises?
Yeah. I think we are. The problem is just managing your schedule. I mean, look, we've got so many people that are just being pulled in every direction at once. Look at Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, granted, he's not in a bunch of huge franchises all at once, like movie franchises. But I mean, outside of being in Star Trek, you know, which granted, assumedly that was a one-off film, right? We're not going to bring back oh, you know, Khan's a member of the Enterprise now.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'd watch it. But the he, you know, also having Sherlock going on, also going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Which, oh, man, every time I think about that, I get, look, Howie, look at the lights. Goosebumps up and down my arms just thinking about a character I've never really cared much about.
Have you seen some of the Photoshops that fans are doing?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's perfect.
Yes, I have. But I mean, people right now, I mean, he's also, has there been an award show in the last 2 years where he hasn't been incorporated into the opening bit? Like, he's everyone's favorite, right? I mean, even at the beginning of the Oscars, you know, the camera's on him and he's taking a sip out of a flask and says, go away into the camera, you know what I mean? Or mouths were going. I mean, he's in everything. And I think there are more people like that. The it's just that historically speaking, and in old Hollywood, you were a certain type of actor. You know, right. I'm a dramatic actor. I don't associate with comedies, and we certainly don't do television. But now we're in a multimedia culture where you could be on a Yahoo web series, you know, have a Comedy Central special and still be in a giant big budget film. Look at where I'm just going to pick on British people right now, but look at where Simon Pegg comes from.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
And he's kind of independent comedy.
And British comedy. Yeah. And he's made a couple of, you know, or he's been a big, you know, a big part of a couple powerhouse movies. He's in the Star Trek franchise. He's in the Mission Impossible franchise, which, by the way, Mission Impossible 2, one of the worst films ever. John Woo can suck it.
Oh, it was awful.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was one of the most surprisingly entertaining films I've seen.
Yes, it was. And it wasn't bad.
No, yeah. And again, Abrams. And I'm looking forward to the next one because, you know, it's like, yeah, Simon Pegg.
Rogue Nation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it works. So, yeah, you can just, there's kind of this transitioning. People, I think actors are more taking control of their careers. And there's a lot more of them who go, yeah, I know I'm really successful, but I want to do what's fun for me.
Harrison Ford did the same thing, though.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. Back. Well, he would be your, but isn't he? I mean, again, I knew it would come to Harrison Ford, but wasn't he the exception to the rule back then, though? I mean, back in the 80s.
Probably. I mean, you got, he was in Empire, then he was in Raiders and Blade Runner, and then Jedi.
But
then
these Temple are all Doom, still pulp
all
films.
Within a year of age.
I think he was before his time. I mean, he was, you know, he was doing that before, you know, that was popular.
But
it
was still a genre. He was a genre actor. He did pulp films. I mean, remember when he showed up in that Anne Hesch movie and everybody went, what?
Sure. Yeah, I guess you're
Where's his whip and or pistol? You know, I don't understand. Why is he just on an island with his top three buttons undone? I don't understand what's happening. You know, as he still, I think it still applied to him. He was just genuinely loved across those major. He was what you first asked, which is, yes, he was in multiple successful franchises all at once.
They just didn't have as many blockbusters as they do now.
That's true.
Marvel's putting one out every month, just about. Or I should say Disney's putting one out every month.
Right, right.
Well, I think also, just to your point, Corey, I mean, you're talking about just actors doing a lot of different genres. I mean, I even think of Mark Ruffalo. I mean, that guy was an independent film, you know, romantic comedy guy. It still does a lot of small, really low budget films.
Yep.
And now he's in the Avengers Age of Ultron and, you know, the original Avenger movie. There's
genre benders everywhere now. I mean, to me, the best example off the top of my head, and Garrett Guerin, I love this, Drunk History.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite show.
The craziest people show up reenacting what these drunken slob writers that they get in their apartments drinking weird, themselves to alcohol poisoning.
Weird telling, Al as Hitler.
Yeah, that Weird Al as ridiculous. Hitler. And didn't he also play awesome. Charlie Chaplin at some point? You know, like, which is funny because Charlie Chaplin played Hitler. But I mean, yeah.
Stephen Merchant's in like every episode.
Yeah, who would you pick to play Rosa Parks? Well, surely it would be Lisa Bonet. I mean,
yeah, why not?
Really, really strange people popping up in this like really funny yet marginally educational show, you know, where they're just mouthing John their Lithgow lines.
As, John Lithgow, George yes. Washington.
Yes, he's been on it a couple times. Yes. You know, John Lithgow to me. Now, if you want to talk about Renaissance men in this conversation, I think John Lithgow is a shining example. John Lithgow would go from like serious dramas to like adventure films, like 2010, The Year We Made Contact. You know what I mean? Which is not a highbrow sci-fi. It's just a good sci-fi. In fact, I like 2010 better than 2001. I'm going to say it.
He did TV too. He was on Dexter for a season.
He was on Dexter. He was on Third Rock from the Sun. He's always, you know, Harry and the Hendersons. The man's always just like comedy, drama, TV, movie. He's always
Footloose.
Jumped around there.
Don't forget.
That's right. Footloose. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Never forget.
But that's the point. I feel like John Lithgow, if we're really going to, you know, put a pin in who really was this way all along, I think he's a great example. I mean, I'm saying he's, you know, the only one, but he's a great example of what now people are just like, yeah, I'm a musician and I'm kind of elusive and people don't really, you know, but I'm friends with the people doing the show. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm going to show up and be in an episode. You know, I feel like there are just people all over now that are just experimenting with different stuff. And it's now is the time. Now is the time to be a cross franchise actor to be, I mean, look at what Oscar Isaacs was doing prior to being cast in Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, right.
Different, just totally different stuff. So
yeah, he was. Yeah, a lot of small stuff. Even Sucker Punch, he was played in that. So mm-hmm.
Good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
Totes.
I will throw something at you.
I like it too. You're the odd man out, Corey.
But. No, I'm odd for being the normal man in. Thank you very much.
However you can sleep at night.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is Oscar Isaac...
Soundly. Yes.
Is Oscar Isaac poised to be the next Harrison Ford then? Kind of
that actor no. that's
if just he can so jump off slides Hollywood. And crash planes.
Yeah. Without dying.
Pilot. Yeah. You know, it's funny in Inside Llewyn Davis, which is a movie that I really enjoyed, but like a lot of Coen Brothers films, it just surprised me at where it left off, you know, which is kind of a thing that they do. I did not picture him as an action star by any stretch. I mean, in that film, he's depicted as shorter than other people and stuff like that. I mean, it just not at all the same individual that I picture now.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's got range to pull this stuff off. So I don't know if that's it or if he's just going to enjoy it for a while. Sure. But, you know, I don't think that he's incapable of it at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, man, he just doesn't look at all like the character he played in that movie because he played it so well, you know? And so, yeah, I say heck. Just
heck. I say heck.
That's right. Dang it.
Heck.
Well, boys, we,
honestly, while I was talking about how good he was in Llewyn Davis, I was pulling up his IMDb page just to be sure that he was actually the titular character in that movie.
In that movie.
Even though I've already verified this 10 times, every time I look at a picture of him, I'm like, no, that cannot be the same person because that's how well he did.
He does. He's a man of a lot of different looks, man.
He really is. He can look just shabby and he can look debonair as all get out. He's a chameleon.
Yeah,
so,
he really is.
Yeah.
I'm comma.
Thank you, Boy George.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a podcast. Wow, we make obscure references all the time, but this one is setting the bar at a much higher level, especially for our younger audiences. I mentioned Hee-Haw earlier, for God's sake. Mike's, what's going on with Dark Disciple?
Well, what? We talked about those 20 books that Disney's going to be releasing. And
yeah, I'm glad we're circling back around.
Yeah, I know. One of those nights, boys. One of those nights.
So say we all.
Anyway, so one of those 20 books that Disney's using to try to recoup that $4 billion they done spent on the franchise. So anyway, this is Star Wars Dark Disciple. We talked about this a little while ago. This is actually A Clone Wars era novel, which is interesting. And it features Jedi Quinlan Voss teaming up with...
That'll give me some more meat for some more Star Wars role-playing campaigns.
It's but it teams up Quinlan Voss with Sith acolyte Asajj Ventress.
Ooh.
So I was going to say, the cover, that looks a little Asajj-y in the background.
That is Asajj, and she actually has hair. She's grown her hair back in this
one. All right.
So,
all right.
This one, first off, I thought it was interesting that they've decided to go back to the Clone Wars era and release books. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? It seems like
I'd be okay if I never
had territory to cover.
Yeah,
you know, between Jedi and Force Awakens.
I'd be okay if I never read the words Count Dooku again.
Well,
I'd be okay if I've never.
You're going to be reading Count Dooku quite a bit.
Because I know it's already in the synopsis. Not hearing Clone Wars ever again. I just feel that way about it.
You know what? Howie's taking a firm stance, and I commend him for it.
Yep.
I'm not going to say I fully agree with that, but I absolutely empathize.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think this is needed because we got closure somewhat with Ahsoka. We never got closure with Asajj Ventress.
You're right.
And I think
Mike's going through a haunted house now, I think.
What was this? Oh, that's spooky.
What is really Dark Disciple?
Making Garrick sound very sinister.
If they can close the loop on Cad Bane, I think we'd have the trifecta of the Clone Wars going on here. Yeah. So, I need to work on that one next.
Yeah,
I've actually heard, I shouldn't even bring this up since this isn't our rumors cast, but
what?
There's whispers about him showing up in Rebels.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Why would that? Seems like a character, you know, Filoni created the character. He ripped him off of
Great
me.
Character.
Ripped him
Great
off of
character.
Me. For those That's who right. haven't been listening since the beginning, I created a character in boys again, role playing. My first ever role playing character I ever made for any game was for Star Wars D6, and Cad Bane is a direct copy. Yeah,
I think we've posted images of that. You might have to do that.
I think
that
I threatened to. I don't know if I ever actually did.
No, you never did, man. Oh. I haven't seen it yet.
You know, the basement's been rearranged so many times since then.
And you should say, when you created this character, it was a good 10 years before Clone Wars even came out.
Oh, man. Episode 1 wasn't out yet.
That's right. Episode 1.
Episode 1 had not come out yet when I created Paul Katai. Apostrophes abound.
Which is a much better name than Poe Dameron.
Yes, Paul Katai is a better name than Poe Dameron. By the way, I forgot to bring this up last time we recorded. I have come up with a way to cope with the name Poe Dameron.
No, you brought it up.
I brought it. No, not on the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I brought it up after the fact. The way I have learned to cope with the name Poe Dameron, I can't do anything about Poe. Poe is a thing. It's a known quantity. But if I pronounce the last name Dameron, Poe Dameron is a far better name than Poe Dameron. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Not gonna happen.
I'm hoping for Dameron. I'm pulling hard for it, boys. So anyhow,
yep.
I don't have a problem with the Dameron part.
All right, we're gonna change his name to Charlie. Charlie Dameron.
There we go.
Yeah,
Charlie he's a better Dameron. Name.
He's a starting linebacker for the St. Louis Rams. Charlie
just
Dameron.
Call him PD. What's up, PD?
PD in the hizzy.
Well, boys, talking about Dark Disciple, one of the things as I'm reading the synopsis of this that I thought was interesting and I didn't kind of see coming, maybe I should have, but there's actually a hint of a romantic tie between Quinlan Vos and Asajj Ventress.
Gross!
Yeah, I don't need any of that.
You don't need any boning in your Star Wars, is that what you're saying?
I've said before that I don't need any sexuality in my Star Wars. And I meant it concerning. I got to tell you, every time I read a Barbara Hambly book, I'm sitting there going, Han, keep your hands to your friggin' self.
I was going to say, if anybody's done any boning in Star Wars, it's Han and Leia.
It's like.
I'm right here.
I'm right here reading this, and you're groping her like there's no one around. Barbara Hambly had a real thing for Harrison Ford. That was very apparent in her writing.
Oh, man.
Anyhow.
There's no room for mating in Star Wars.
No.
Well, it happens, though, buddy.
Dang it.
And twins are the result. You should know all about that.
Well, maybe.
Maybe not.
an IRL.
Uh-huh.
Well, boys, the last item.
You're talking about, never mind.
The last item I have is a correction from last week.
Yeah.
If you remember.
From 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Yes. Right. JWFan.com was reporting on their website that John Williams was actually going to be flying to London and recording the score of the new film, The Force Awakens, with the London Symphony Orchestra. That's all been completely turned on its head. And no, he's going to stay in L.A. this time, and he's going to record, like we had mentioned, like we thought was originally going to happen with his orchestra that he uses in Los Angeles. So a little backtracking there and correction. So I want to make sure everybody was aware of that. So they
shot it over in the U.K., and then they're going to score it here in the U.S.
Now, well, here's why I think JWFan.com wanted to believe that he was going to London is because the original six movies were all wasn't scored in London, but it was recorded in London with the London Symphony Orchestra.
Right.
So this will be the first time that Williams doesn't, you know, make the trek over. And for obvious reasons, I think we had mentioned last time. He's not young. He's not a spring chicken anymore. He's in his 70s. So, so staying at home, I think that's was his preference this time. And to be honest, I mean, the group that he has in Los Angeles, those guys are top notch. And
I don't want to piss on any, cellist parades.
Please don't.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, an orchestra of people that have incredible skill, to me, I can't really decipher one from another. I know there are people who can. But I think your average moviegoer, right. it's like if it's in the hand, I mean, and who knows who makes up with the orchestra that he works with? It could be people from all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
And well, he does all kinds of scores with many, many, many different types of movies.
Exactly.
And most of the time, he records in Los Angeles. I mean, the only reason I think he agreed, especially on the prequels, you know, to go to London was because
tradition.
You know, George asked him to do it. So, but this time around, he's just like, no. So most of the movies that we've heard his scores on are with his group that are out of Los Angeles. So
right.
I don't think we're going to hear any difference. I think it's going to be just as good as, you know.
Well, and if it sounds like Star movies. Wars, it'll sound completely different from the prequels. Anywho.
Well, boys, that's all I had for news.
Which means it's time for the Porkins Bite of the Week.
It's a state of mind, gentlemen. Remember that.
Get in that state.
Did you know the tiny South Pacific nation of Niue accepts Star Wars commemorative coins as legal tender?
What?
Wow.
Commemorative coins, huh?
What?
Okay.
Legal tender. I'm not sure that met the contractual requirements, but he's already gone.
There must be super inflation there.
Yeah.
Are you talking the commemorative coin from the 30th anniversary collection?
Yeah, which coin, man?
Hold on. Now I got to go back through my text messages to see what he vetted earlier.
I'm trying to think. There was a coin, you're right, released with some toys.
Yeah, well, yeah. Collection.
That's about the only coin I can think of.
I don't know.
Was it in like a Darth Vader case?
I'm not sure that these coins have actually been previously released other than in this context, believe it or not.
So what you're saying is we should go over to Garrick's house, take all of his toys from that collection
move
to the island of Niue. Is that what you're saying?
Well, these coins are silver plated and they go for about $20 USD.
Woo. Oh.
Maybe I should open some packages.
Here. Wink.
Jeez.
That'll buy you at least two more figures, boy.
Yeah, man. Worth it.
Anywho.
You can make money that way.
Well, it's a good thing we're already on topic because, gentlemen, it's time to talk about the toys.
And collectibles.
And video games.
And video games. That's a new thing. So, guys.
No, they've been around.
It's new for me. Have you heard of this Star Wars Battlefront game that's coming out?
I don't know anything about it.
Based on the Star Wars Battlefront series.
I played both of the entrants in that series thus far.
Yes. Well, a little while ago, EA showcased a behind closed doors trailer for the upcoming, or I guess it's called an Arena Battler. And apparently, when they showed it, people were jumping out of their seats and going crazy.
Masters of Sarasgasi 2!
There was mass hysteria.
Dogs and cats living together.
Living together, yes.
That's a big Twinkie.
The whole nine yards. Well, at Celebration Anaheim this year, from April 16th to 19th, they are actually going to debut officially for the first time in the history of the world.
What could it be?
Star Wars Battlefront. How did you not know that? They're gonna
I thought you were going to do like a bait and switch or something. Like, no. You know, yank the tablecloth
they
out.
They are going to premiere
still standing. What?
Battlefront. Star Wars Battlefront at Star Wars Celebration.
Now, it's just straight up Star Wars Battlefront. It's not like Star Wars Battlefront remix or anything like that.
Battlefront DLC. No, I don't think so.
It's DLC for Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Dust off that PS2, fellas.
This doesn't look good at all.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. So check. I guess I don't know if they're going to have live streaming videos to Celebration.
I will check that out because, you know, now that I've got a new console, I am actually looking more forward to this game than I was before.
Yes.
I have absolutely a PS4 and it's itching to play a game just like this. Oh, so, yeah. So, I wonder if they'll have some wicked split screen action. Huh?
So if you want more information on Star Wars Celebration and ways to attend, you can go to the website www.celebrationihateyourstupidfacebecauseicantgo.com.
You know, check that out. They probably could have gotten a better URL.
I don't know. Maybe Star Wars Celebration was already used. Who knows? And speaking of Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, you know how early in our podcast here at Fly Casual, we like to kind of keep our listeners surprised when Christmas is coming.
It's right around the corner.
It's always right around the corner.
I'm glad you said that, Mike, because it is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Literally about to jump out and punch you in the face.
Stop it, Christmas! That's abuse!
Ow! Quit hitting me! The ornament company Hallmark is having an exclusive celebration Anaheim.
I would like to point out back in July, the first time Garrick went, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. It was talking about ornaments at Hallmark.
Yes.
I would like to point that out.
And I to outdo myself, it is still March when we are casting this, although it might premiere in April.
Yeah, seriously, you're going to have to like do a New Year's podcast this next year. Christmas is right around the corner.
December 26th. Christmas is right. Okay, anyway. Anyway, they are releasing an exclusive Celebration Anaheim ornament, and this is pretty sweet. It's a two-pack that features Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader locked in heated lightsaber duel.
Whoa!
But this particular set is based on the art of Ralph McQuarrie.
Yeah.
And you guys know Ralph McQuarrie. There's that famous like poster where it's Luke with the breather mask and he's kind of crouched down.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very recognizable if you're a huge Star Wars fan. Well, it's basically that, but they turn it into a sweet, sweet ornament that you can put on your tree.
Is it available at Hallmarks everywhere?
No. Not yet.
Son of a gun.
I'm going to hope that they're going to do a wider release, but as of right now, it's only for Celebration Anaheim, and the total production run is 2,000.
Oh,
so there's not that many available.
Get your hot little paws on one when you can.
Yep, and if you're going to Celebration Anaheim and you want to spend the $40 to buy me one, that would be fine. I won't mind. That'd be great.
He's not saying he's going to reimburse you, but he approves of your expenditure.
Yes, I approve. And if you want my address private, no, send me a message. I'll tell you where to send it.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, so I'm about to do something I haven't done in a while. I'm actually going to
put pants on.
No.
Oh.
No. No way.
Heck no. I'm going to do a toy review.
Whoa.
Okay, cue the music, Howie. Going to have a good time.
Toy reviews.
So I was up in Fort Wayne the other day with Corey.
What?
And we went to a local toy store there.
It's and true.
I happened to come across the action figure.
You know
that
what?
I had
just
not...
stop. Just stop. Just stop. I can't.
No,
I,
no, no. I'm I can't going through
sit,
with this.
I can't sit through this facade.
I'm going through this.
This total charade that you're going through. You know what? I will let you finish. I'm gonna let you finish. I'm gonna let you finish. But I want to point out that Garrick bought the most retarded, pardon the term, but retarded action figure of all time.
No, this thing is great.
You were so excited about it. And Corey hates excited. What the heck?
It's a figure I didn't have in my set until I bought it.
And I picked it up. I'm like, what is this ugly thing? Garrick's like,
as soon as I saw it, Corey's like, no, you're not going to buy this. I'm like, just because you said that, now I have to. So you mentioned we were talking about the action figures that came with Wayne, the 30th anniversary set. Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of them. It's a Wave 7 figure. Ooh. And with quick backstory in the 30th anniversary set, this is probably one of my favorite lines ever that has come out because it's just a mass eclectic amount of action figures, just like anyone you could possibly think of, and very few repaints. Well, this is one that came out near the very, very end after they had run out of ideas for action figures.
Clearly. Clearly.
So let me give you some of the ones that are in the wave this one came out with. There's Ramba and Grack, Ewok warriors. Of course, you know Ramba and Grack, right?
Oh, man. Ewoks.
Oh, yeah.
Ewoks sell like hotcakes.
Of course. Tycho Selchu, A-Wing pilot.
Which I totally want, and you have.
Yes, I do have that. It's awesome. R2-D2 with cargo net.
With cargo net.
It's basically R2-D2 in Return of the Jedi when he's strung up on some poles.
Because, okay.
And McQuarrie, and the McQuarrie Signature Series concept Han Solo action figure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one, the one I got, rounded out the series.
This is so ridiculous.
It's Anakin Skywalker, Jedi Spirit.
Yep.
Action figure.
No. You're picturing like a clear acrylic blue. You are wrong, sir.
You are way off. Here, let me describe this.
Because it's way worse.
Okay, I've got to Google this now.
I have it in my hand right now. It's covered in a robe that's see-through. So it's
all cloth.
It's all cloth. It's cloth. It's see-through. It has little sparklies
in it.
Wait. Stop.
Underneath
see-through cloth?
Yes.
Explain that to me.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's wearing gold fishnets.
What do I need to Google, man?
Underneath this robe is the other robes, the wider ones, but they have gold, I guess, inlay string in them, so they're real sparkly. The place where it's normally brown is purple. And I guess because they didn't want to change the paint, his eyebrows are also purple. And his skin is a very opalescent white mess.
He looks
almost like a China doll.
Yeah, I was going to say he looks like a gypsy. Like he's wearing all these like flowing, like instead of, I guess they put all this like gold chiffon or whatever around him, you know, or what my wife would call tulle. Yes. To try to make him look like flowy, like the glow of the Force, but he just looks like a gypsy covered in a see-through robe.
And of course, I guess if people don't know this, we should mention this was a thing that was added into later editions of the Empire, or no.
Return of the Jedi. Boy, you struggle with this.
It's not old Anakin.
Yeah, when they patched in young Anakin over old Anakin at the end of Jedi.
For no explanation for that at all.
There's an explanation. He's got one.
Rather than make
it's not
the
very
yeah no it sucks
salient but yeah
me, rather than make the acrylic see through figure, someone just said, let's just make him a sand gypsy.
Let me read you the comments on the back of the box because these cracked me up.
Are they like YouTube comments? Because then I want to hear them.
Here are the comments, the kind of the description of what we're looking at here. Here we go. As the rebels celebrate their victory over the Empire, the spirit of Anakin Skywalker appears to his son, Luke. But instead of the ravaged Darth Vader he became, it is the youthful Anakin Skywalker who appears restored at last to the hopeful young Jedi he once was.
Youthful, ignorant, butthole, easily manipulated Anakin
and
Skywalker.
And also don't forget that part.
It's funny you should mention that. Here, his species is listed as apparition. his status Saved from the dark side.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Not dead, mind you.
Here's a couple of my last two. These are kind of my favorites. Weapon of choice, loyalty and love.
These are actually printed on the back of the box.
Okay, and then his characteristic is died to save his son.
Oh my god!
And I think, and this all may sound ridiculous.
And it's the dumbest looking action figure of all time.
This may all sound ridiculous, I did find it on Google. It is pretty dumb looking.
What I found the most ridiculous is that he comes with a lightsaber. Now wrap your head around that.
A Force spirit lightsaber.
Anakin Skywalker spirit comes with his original blue lightsaber.
I would like to point out,
how does that work?
That they've made a Force spirit Obi-Wan that they wanted him to be kind of see-through, but yet still be an action figure. And he has the same kind of like skin and like translucent like hands and stuff. And for his robe, they just made a Jedi robe, but they wanted it to be a little see-through. So they basically made it out of rubber fruit roll-ups. filled with like glittery sparkles. And that looks better than this awful monstrosity.
So you can see why I had to pick this up, because it is the most ridiculous.
It's garish.
I don't care how ridiculous it is.
It's completely garish. It's just so hard to look at. Oh my gosh.
It's so great. I can't take my eyes off of it.
You know, and also to mention it, we were at,
did he go to Bespin and find Luke's lightsaber? Is that how he has that? I don't know.
Maybe it's the Force Ghost that hands it off for the Force Awakens setup. Who knows?
Oh, maybe.
What's the name of the store we went to where you picked this up?
Intergalactic
Toys, yeah, which is located in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, and you know, where all the small businesses everybody wants to go to are located now. But we went in, and these guys that are in, for the place is just a wreck with stuff. Oh my gosh, the floors!
It was crazy.
They've got more stuff than they can curate. Just go digging through a box, and they go, "How much is this?" Because you know that's you're better off. These dudes were a brand of hilarious that let me, you guys hear how much I talk over these chuckleheads, listeners. I could not get a word in.
I didn't want to.
No, you stood back.
I was like, oh, this is
great. Leaned on the counter while they got to ranting about Rebels. And then at some point they were talking about people from old Discovery shows and stuff. And without taking a breath, these two guys, the way they played off each other, I'm like, if we don't get them on the podcast, we fail. Like, I'm gonna keep at this, because there is a special brand of experience. So if you are in the area in Fort Wayne, stop in Intergalactic Toys, because these guys are a hoot. Oh my gosh. If there's, you know, I worry though, I'll go in and there'll be just one of them and they'll just be sitting there with headphones on. But you go in and the two guys are there and it's just insane. And they're like, oh yeah, we're like this all the time. It never stops. So
yeah, they got a good price there.
They got a lot of stuff too.
I think I paid $8.99 for this figure, but with the coin, if I go out to new, I can sell it for $20.
Yeah.
That's good.
I got to tell you, I really, when we walked in, they had a big life-size rubber gremlin. Ooh. Standing there. And I'm like, I want this, but not for the hundreds of dollars that it costs. I just, you know, really coveted. But like, they've got a wide range of stuff in there and a good range of Star Wars things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was fun picking through that. I'm looking forward to going back and doing it again. One of those old 70s Marvel comics that they put out around the holidays that are like double size.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's a Christmas issue with like the Avengers and stuff like on it, and it's just kind of ridiculous looking. So I'm like, I'm going to get this and hang it on the wall because it's hilarious. Yeah.
And they had another Anakin Skywalker spirit there as well. So how if you...
There was a second one?
Oh, yeah. There was two of them. So still be there. You better go jump on that.
Yeah, that Boba Fett that they had. They still have that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
They had a handful of Boba Fett variants. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It was a larger one.
Yeah. So, anywho, what else is going on in toys, Garrick?
Well, that's all I got for right now.
Oh, really? I was hoping you'd have something that didn't
suck. I think that's all that needs to be said.
Hey, Battlefront was cool.
Yeah, Battlefront is cool, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to reaching back out to the listeners once again in our next episode. In the meantime, hey, listener, you should follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 because that's where the hotbed of activity is going on. That's where the conversation is happening. And that's where you can be constantly inundated in a good way with all sorts of Star Wars news and humor. It's going on over there. And also on Facebook, like us at facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. And see all the stuff that we're sharing and wheeling and dealing on there. Hey, send us your questions, concerns, things you'd like to talk about on the podcast. We are more than willing. In the meantime, do us a big favor and go out to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, and give us a positive rating. Like, share, help us propagate the love. We're working on some new projects, looking at expanding our offering. And to be able to do that for you, we got to be able to do it for others. So please, please, please help us spread the wealth. Anybody got any parting shots they want to fire off before we tie this one off? All right, I'll do it then. Everybody, make sure you tune in. Make sure you tune in the next episode. You know, hey, if you tuned in for the off episodes of Reviews and Rumors just because you like to hear about Star Wars Rebels, and you're going, oh no, there's no Star Wars Rebels until season two is ready. Well, we've got a treat for you next episode, a little special something we cooked up. I'm going to spoil it. Tune in, and I promise it might be worth your while. We'll see. You'll know it was worth your while if you hear it a second time. So anyhow, in the meantime, thanks for joining us. I'm Corey. Over there is Mike, who's made a surprisingly little amount of body function noises over the course of the podcast. And then, of course.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Hi. How's it going? Yeah. And then, of course, Mr. Garrick, not Jay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Stick around, Garrick. Don't go just yet.
Not yet.
Okay. And of course, Howie here, already his hand wrapped firmly around his Pure Leaf tea. Go at it.
Mm.
And hey, thanks everybody for joining us. We are jelly.
Tasty.
Great.